Opening our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And as you're opening your Bible there this morning, the two most important holidays in regard to the Christian faith is Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also Easter, where we recognize His death on the cross for human sin. And then on Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate His resurrection from the dead. That as He said in Scripture, He is alive forevermore. And thereby we celebrate that we serve a living and risen Savior. That being said, those indeed are the most important holidays in my heart as regard to my faith. However, when it comes to the time of the year, those are not my favorite holidays for the timeline of the year. Because of what has happened in secular American culture, and how Christmas and Easter have become so secularized that from the culture outside looking in, you could hardly recognize that it is even a Christian holiday. So therefore, according to the time of the year, probably my favorite holiday according to the time of the year is Thanksgiving. Because right now, in my mind, that is still one holiday from the outside looking in. It has not been so secularized as to miss. Now, Thanksgiving is not a Christian holiday. It's not in the Bible. Thanksgiving, as I understand Thanksgiving, got its start with President Lincoln as he called the nation to prayer and then called the nation to set aside a day that we would thank God for His goodness and His work and His blessing upon this nation. And later on it became recognized as a national holiday. But having said that, it is not a holiday that is anti-scripture or unbiblical. In fact, Thanksgiving presses us to a word of God given through the Apostle Paul. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So this morning I've entitled this message, Jesus, I Thank You. And this morning in this message we're going to look at the life of a man. And based on his response to what happened in his life through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to share with us how we can develop a heart, an attitude, a posture, if you will, as a believer, of thanksgiving unto God. Because after all, the Word of God that I just quoted to you says, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Finding your place in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, we start in verse 11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, I want us to hone in very carefully on verse 15. And I think it is there that we find the ways that we can develop a posture, a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise unto God. But before we get there, I've got to bring you into the context of this passage. The Bible says that when Jesus entered this village, that 10 leprous men met him and yelled at him from a distance to have mercy upon them. Now, you've got to understand something about leprosy in the first century in the Bible days. First of all, leprosy was almost a death sentence in the ancient world. The reason being is leprosy is, and I'm so glad to see Joan over there and Hannah over there, because if I get this wrong, they can kind of correct me. But from what I understand about leprosy, it is a deadly, contagious skin disease. And so, which is significant in other places, when Jesus heals a leprous person, and the Bible says that he touched that individual. So if you were a faithful Jew, God had given in the law that if you suspected that you had leprosy, it was the priest over Israel that God had sanctioned to diagnose leprosy and possibly to help you get a cure. So if you suspected that you had leprosy and you were a good and faithful Jew, you were to trek yourself to the priest. He was to perform the test according to the law of God to see if you had leprosy. And then if it could not be cured, are you with me this morning? You became a social outcast. You could not go back to your family because you wanted nobody else around you to catch this dreaded disease. You became a social outcast. Many of the lepers in the first century, it was compounded because they had such a deadly, contagious skin disease and they couldn't go around their family and they couldn't be around other people. Many of them became beggars. They were poor. They had no way to provide for themselves. And as I said, it was almost like a death sentence. And even there is testimony in some of the documents that say what a leper was supposed to do. If you were one with leprosy, and you might even be around somebody who may not know that, and they were getting close to you, it was your responsibility to yell out, unclean, 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 stay away. And so you could imagine, these men, when they heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming through their way, and they had heard the reports that other people who had leprosy had been healed, and you can understand them standing in that village as Jesus came into that village and them yelling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. I think this was twofold. I believe Jesus just simply told them to go and show themselves to the priest. Number one, in order to cause them to exercise faith. Did they believe that by the very word of Jesus the Christ, they could be healed? And when they do exactly what he said. And then also, that healing, that cleansing that was going to take place by the word of Jesus would also be a testimony to the priest. Likely, we don't know, I speculate, that it would be the priest or priests that were familiar with their case that likely had diagnosed them and seen them through the years. We don't know that for sure, but likely it was. And so Jesus tells them to go to the priest as a testimony of the work of God and the power of God of who He is. And so these men strike out, these 10 men strike out, and on the way, what happens? The miraculous takes place. They're healed. They're cleansed. Which now brings us to verse 15 and how we as a believer can develop this lifestyle, this attitude, this heart of thanksgiving unto God. Let me read verse 15 again and then walk us through this morning. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, verse 16 as well, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And oh, by the way, Jesus wants them to know, this is a Samaritan, one of those half-breeds that most of you Jewish people hate their guts. So how can we see the response of this man? How can it help us today to have an attitude, and more appropriately, a heart of thanksgiving and praise to God? Well, first step in that is we are to pause and take personal inventory. Pause and take personal inventory. Well, where do you see that? The Bible says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed. When he saw that he had been healed. So as he's going along the way, I don't know whether the others paid attention. They likely did. But at some point, he looked down at his hands and his skins and everything else. And he realized, oh my goodness, by the word of Jesus, I've just been healed. He took a little bit of personal inventory. Now for him, it was as he was on his way to the priest. It was as he was walking along the road. And I believe that for us as a believer, we need to do what this man does. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, that we need to pause and take personal inventory. We have a hymn in our hymnal, Count Your Many Blessings. I believe we sang that this morning for the opening in the Sunday school time. But honestly, let's be honest with one another this morning as believers in Christ. When is the last time that we've really paused to take personal inventory of what God is doing through Jesus Christ in our lives? Some years ago, I was vegging in front of the television when I was living in Bennettsville. And I don't even remember the channel now, but I came across this program where these people had these rare talents. And it showed this man who was spinning plates on these rods that he had developed and were just sticking up out of these contraptions. And so he had this long line of these rods where he was spinning plates. And he started at the beginning, and he got the first one spinning on that rod, and he went on down, and he got I think it was 7 or 8 plates on these rods just spinning. And so by the time he got the last one spinning, the first one was about to wobble and fall off of the rod, so he ran down to there, and then you know the game. Now it was his job to keep all those plates spinning on the rods. And I mean, some of them would wobble, and you'd know he may have been juicing it up because he was good at this. But I mean, some of them would wobble, and you just knew it was going to hit the floor. He'd run by, and he'd get all those things spinning. What does that have to do with the price of eggs, preacher? Well, you know, sometimes life is like that for us. We run and run, and the plates are spinning, and this one starts to wobble. And we've got to run over here and spin it real fast. And, oh, well, there are grandchildren to see and great grandchildren, all this kind of stuff. And we spend our time sometimes running through the plates of life, keeping it, make sure we're keeping it spinning. This has got to be, And this leprous man shows us, you know what? It's time to just pause and take some personal inventory. Can I just say to you this morning, the Bible does not sanction laziness, but guess what? It's okay to stop. It's okay to stop running the race. But I believe for the believer, we're not just stopping to rest. We're pausing to take personal inventory. We're looking at our lives. I believe as a believer that we always ought to be pressing forward in our relationship with Christ. Jesus, how can I love you more? Jesus, how can I serve you more? Jesus, what can I learn of you more? Jesus, how can you work in my life? Jesus, what would you be doing for me today? And sometimes the only way for that to happen is for us to pause. Come to a full stop. And then we need to do like this leprous man. We need to see. The Bible says he saw that he had been healed. He saw the mighty hand of God at work in his life. And see, we pause and we take that personal inventory. And we begin to think about where we are now. And we begin to think about the year that is passing us by. And we begin to take inventory of our life. And we try to do as this leper, we try to see God. In the middle of this year, I had an automobile accident by myself. I had just, believe it or not, I had just gotten through Malfunction Junction. I was going to meet a candidate for our full-time position. It was pouring down rain. I was in my father-in-law's little light truck. I had several car lengths behind me, several car lengths between me and the car in front of me, and traffic started slowing down. The rain was not hard, but really steady. A lot of water on the road. And the traffic really started slowing down, and I started slowing down with it. And I noticed that the taillights in front of me kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, I pressed down on the brake real hard. And before I knew it, brothers and sisters, I was perpendicular in the lane, sliding on the road. I was hydroplaning on the water. I knew I absolutely had no control of the vehicle. My first thought was, dear Lord, somebody is about to open up this passenger door for me. They're about to plow into my passenger side. Well, finally, I'm sitting there. I'm in the truck, scared to death. I'm fighting the steering wheel, trying to get the vehicle right. The vehicle catches, it straightens out, and then all of a sudden the other end comes around, and before I knew it, I'm off the road, sitting in the ditch. That'll make your day, won't it? But guess what? No major damage to the vehicle. After I found my glasses where they were in the cab, I started taking inventory and looking. Other than my head kind of hitting the roof because it was a small truck, as far as I can tell, I'm okay. What do you do? What do you do? And after I got over the initial shock, I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then as people began to help me, as they saw me along the side of the road and began to help me, this will just bless you. The 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 old, the, um, oh, what are they got? The Shep guys out here, those guys are wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for them. But this will just bless you. So he drives up and he's going to help me. He says, you better be glad you didn't flip that thing. You ought to flip. Well, I don't know. But you know what I believe? God protected me that day. See, a lot of ways and a lot of things that happen where God protects us. Well, we pause and take inventory. Secondly, not only do we pause and take inventory, but second, we prioritize our attention upon God's work. Well, look at this again. Now, one of them, when he had been healed, turned back. Turned back. What's he going to do? He's getting his attention fully on Jesus now. The Bible says he turned back. He is going to Jesus. He realizes he didn't do this. He realizes his friends didn't do this. He realized, are you with me? That by the word of the Son of the living God, there he now stood in a road cleansed. Are you with me this morning? The social death sentence on this man's life had been lifted. In a moment's time, he was a different man. The Bible says that he turned back. He focused his attention on the work of God. And many times, I just use, you want to know why I use the word prioritize? Started with a P. But folks, do we absolutely see the work of God in our lives? Jesus is at work. If you're a believer here today, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit of God is in you, and Jesus is at work in our lives. Not only is he at work around us, but he is at work in our very lives. But we won't develop that heart of thanksgiving. We won't develop that attitude and heart of praise unless we begin to focus and prioritize our attention on God's work. Sometimes he uses others. Sometimes he uses circumstances. Most of the time he uses his word. He speaks to us through his word. But God is at work. I don't think the other nine were ungrateful for what Jesus has done in their lives. They just didn't take the time to express it. They could have turned back. They weren't blind. They saw their friend turn back. They just weren't willing to take the time to express their thanksgiving to God. Their eyes and focus was not upon the work of God. How beautiful it is not only to see God's work in our lives, but to be privileged to be a part of God's work. That he would so graciously use us. That he would so graciously did these men deserve this healing? Let's be honest. Did they deserve it? I don't think they deserved it. Do we deserve the blessing of God on our lives and in our lives? Yet what strikes me sometimes is how the attitude in my heart can be is I demand of God as if I deserve it. But yet God faithfully works. God faithfully works. When my dad was alive, one of the routines that he had routinely in our home, I'm a little bit like my dad. He would sometimes wake up at odd hours in the morning. Now, I don't do this, but one of the things my dad would routinely do when those things would happen is he would check the house. I remember at times being awakened by my dad, and when he couldn't sleep, as he would get up and he would just open the door just a little bit to my bedroom and look in on the bedroom, and he would go. And then if I would wake up, I could hear him checking the front door. We had sliding glass doors in our homes. I could hear him checking the sliding glass door, making sure that those were secure. I could hear him checking the back door. As I was preparing for this message, and I feel like the Holy Spirit brought that back to my mind, wonder how many times my dad unknowingly did that in the house. I didn't wake up every time he did it. Wonder how many times he unknowingly did that. And I was absolutely oblivious to what he was doing. But as the man of our house, as the person solely responsible for him and his family, when he woke up in those odd times of the night, he routinely secured the house. Yet there were many times in my life I was absolutely oblivious to what he was doing. You see where this is going, brothers and sisters. How many times does God faithfully work in our lives, day in and day out, faithfully and sovereignly work, and he protects, and he gives, and he blesses, and he answers prayer, and he hears our deepest cry, and he sends encouragement. And he meets needs, and day in and day out he does that. And sometimes we're absolutely oblivious to his faithful work. We got to turn back. We got to focus our attention on the mighty hand of God through the Holy Spirit. And do you know why he does that? Do you know why he faithfully day in and day out works in our lives? Because he loves us. Because he loves us with a deep, everlasting, eternal, abiding love. And we get privileged as a believer to be a part of that love every nanosecond of our lives through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Very quickly. And thirdly, we've got to purposely glorify God. Purposely glorify God. Look at the verse again. Look at verse 16. There's a misprint in the notes. I'm sorry about that. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 should have been included. Now one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. This was a purposeful act of worship. A purposeful act of worship on the part of this man. And we've got to purposely glorify God. How do we do that? Glorify God through unashamed praise. Do you see that? You see the scripture? You see the word of God? Glorifying God how? The Bible tells us how he did it. With what? A loud voice. He was absolutely unashamed. He was not going to let anybody stand in the way of his praise and thanksgiving unto the Son of God. He was unashamed. I don't think the Bible here, don't misunderstand this preacher peddling emotionalism, but I'm telling you, if I can go to a USC, a CSU game and get revved up at the good things going on the field, oh my goodness, I can get revved up about what King Jesus is doing in my life. But it's unashamed praise. Just unfettered, unashamed. This guy didn't care what other people thought of. What a good one. He didn't care what anybody else around him thought. He was going to worship, praise, and thank Jesus. But not only unashamed praise in whatever way that might strike your life, whatever way that might come to you, but then don't miss this either. He glorified God through humble worship. And he fell on his face at his feet, the Bible says. Oh my, what humility. No demanding spirit with this guy. No looking at Jesus and saying, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And oh no. He just fell on his feet before Jesus. He worshiped him. The Bible says he gave thanks to him. I don't think anybody around this man, don't forget, it's public. This is a public setting. He's not in his private prayer closet. This is in a crowded village where Jesus is. And this man has come and prostrated himself on the ground in the middle of a village, crowded with people seeing Jesus, and he falls on his face before Jesus, giving thanks unto him. Wow. And that humble worship was glorifying God. You see, in my mind, and none of us will do this perfectly, not even the best of us in this room. But I believe in the Holy Spirit's power, we ought to give it a gallant effort. But in my mind, when I started really studying this text or this message, this man knew a whole lot more about thanksgiving than I feel like I do right now. This, my friends, is what thanksgiving is all about. This, my friends, is the model for us believers when it comes to thanksgiving. Because you know what? We serve a great God who loves us and has spared nothing on our account, and lovingly in Christ Jesus lavishes us with his blessings. I love the way Paul put it, that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And he continues in faithfulness. And oh my, please today, as we approach Thanksgiving, as followers of Jesus Christ, let us pause to take personal inventory. Let us prioritize our attention upon God's work and his mighty hand. And let us purposely glorify God through unashamed praise and through humble worship. Because he loves us. And he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thanksgiving. And he is worthy of all that we bring to him in the Holy Spirit.